Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for Northeast Kansas and Southeast Nebraska. For today, mostly sunny skies in the upper 50s. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. Tonight, increasing clouds, lower 30s. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. For tomorrow, partly sunny skies. Again, we'll see highs in the upper 50s. Winds will be from the south. Tomorrow night, becoming mostly cloudy in the mid-30s. As we get into Sunday, mostly sunny skies, a little bit cooler. We'll see highs at 52. Right now, it's 28.
Kansas Mid-America Network News. Good Friday. A 17-year-old boy originally charged with murder in a high school student's death in Olathe has pleaded guilty to lesser charges. Roland Cabello pleaded guilty yesterday to aggravated robbery and distribution of Xanax. The Kansas City Star reports Cabello was originally charged with felony murder in the death of 17-year-old Rowan Padgett in March. Authorities say Padgett was shot during an unsuccessful drug deal for $8 worth of Xanax. Attorneys for the family of a 19-year-old football player who died of heat stroke after conditioning practice at Garden City Community College says they plan to sue the school unless it wants to discuss a settlement. Attorney Chris Dove spoke yesterday after the college released a scathing independent report on Garden City Community College's conduct the day that Braden Bradforth died. Dove calls it a damning investigation. And Kansas weather for the weekend seasonably warmer than how we started this week. Mid-America Network News.
Price sells cars, trucks, and SUVs at Rusty at Ford. And you don't have to wait till Black Friday. In November, every day is Black Friday at Rusty at Ford. On F-150 trucks, get a $3,000 discount, and you keep the rebates. That's over $11,000 off MSRP on F-150 trucks. On Ford SUVs, take $3,000 off plus rebates. That's over $7,500 off. Hey, it's Black Friday every day at Rusty at Ford, where Price sells cars. To see what's going on, go to RustyAtFord.com.
Plus tax and fees, all rebates to dealer. Must finance with Ford Credit upon approval of credit for Ford Credit Rebate. Rebate available on select vehicles. Offers cannot be combined. Offer expires 11/30/19. And now enjoy the sounds of the holiday season from Rusty at Ford. Enjoy your turkey.
Catholic diocese in Kansas will not support expanding Medicaid unless the state passes a constitutional amendment and new laws restricting abortions. Chuck Weber, who's executive director of the Kansas Catholic Conference, told a House committee this week that the state's four Catholic dioceses are seeking an amendment to the Kansas Constitution to clarify that it does not include a right to abortion. Police are saying the deaths of two people in a southeast Topeka apartment were a murder-suicide. Police spokeswoman Gretchen Conan said yesterday 32-year-old Valerie Taylor was found dead Tuesday afternoon by officers responding to a medical call. Taylor died from a single gunshot wound. Conan said in a news release that police believe Taylor was killed by her boyfriend, 37-year-old James Allen Jr., who was later found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. I'm Rick Everett with your Friday morning Kansas News on the Mid-America Network.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Santa! Is it really him?
Ho, 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 ho! Settle down, buddy. I have to tell people about Blue Valley Technologies' Christmas gift.
Is it gumdrops and candy canes?
No, buddy, even better. $100 gift card. Upgrade your internet today and have some extra cash for the holidays.
Presents!
Contact Blue Valley Technologies for details.
Nebraska Mid-America Network News. Good Friday, the Nebraska State Patrol reports seizing nearly 135 pounds of marijuana in two separate traffic stops on I-80 in Nebraska. The patrol says the first stop happened just before noon Wednesday near Sydney. That netted a bust of 13 pounds of pot from a California driver who was pulled over for speeding. About an hour later, another speeding stop near Giltner resulted in a search uncovering 121 pounds of marijuana. The 28-year-old driver from Cliffside Park, New Jersey, was arrested on suspicion of various drug charges. The Nebraska Transportation Department offering to produce and emplace road memorials as a way to keep state highways free of roadside safety hazards. The new department policy announced this week says each sign will display the name of a person being memorialized and include one of five safety messages. I'm Rick Everett with Nebraska News on the Mid-America Network.
It's that time of the year when we all give thanks, and Midwest Kia wants to thank all our loyal customers. What's that mean to you? How about employee pricing on every new Kia model in stock? 125% of Black Book value for your trade, and in the spirit of Black Friday, we'll double the manufacturer's rebate on every in-stock Black Kia. And of course, you still get the amazing 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And during the month of November, every Friday is Black Friday. Show up at Midwest Kia at 9 a.m. sharp. We'll have Doorbuster cash cars priced as low as $500, plus Doorbuster prizes like flat-screen TVs. Check out MidwestKia.com for a list of Doorbuster vehicles and special prizes each week. Wow! Employee pricing, the most money for your trade, double rebates on Black Kias, and Friday Doorbusters starting as low as $500. We are very thankful at Midwest Kia, where we always say,
we want to see ya in a Midwest Kia.
Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. Marysville City Council met Tuesday and unanimously approved a roughly 15% increase of $2.40 per hour for police officers, bringing the starting wage to $18.23 per hour, which is in line with the county sheriff's department. Concern with staff reduction to 50% due to several officers leaving recently prompted the discussion. Larry Wenzel, who had retired, has indicated he would come back part-time. James Leese, who had been on the force, is planning to return, and an assistant chief to replace David Oldie plans to start in January. A request for holiday pay for Chief Todd Ackerman in the interim was denied on a 3-2 vote, as some council members felt that should be part of his salary package. A 1.5% increase in the transient guest tax, which is levied by local motels on guests, was approved unanimously. Proceeds fund Marysville Convention and Tourism activities. The approval followed discussion where Councilman Kevin Throm expressed concern that we may be pricing local lodging higher than other communities and may potentially lose business. A comparison with construction costs for a number of fire stations built in recent years in various Kansas communities raised comment that estimated costs for a new fire station in Marysville are high. Engineers have estimated construction at $173 per square foot for a 10,000 square foot building. Other communities came in closer to $100 per square foot. Some used volunteer labor and a CanStep program, which is no longer available. With that, Mayor Carla Grund urged the city be aggressive in seeking competitive bids and contact some of the builders of these area facilities to determine their interest. She was hopeful to bring the project cost in closer to $1 million. A contract for the Veterans Wall is complete. The display will be at Feldhausen Field next September 17th through the 20th. Fundraising efforts continue with a goal of $10,000 to fund the visit. Christmas opening in Marysville will be Saturday, December 7th, including Santa's arrival and parade, among other events. Council was invited to a joint meeting of the Marysville Chamber of Commerce and Marysville Main Street, December 11th, to discuss future directions for the two organizations. The breakfast meeting will begin at 7 at the Wagon Wheel. Council voted not to assist with funding a sewer hookup for a new residence planned along Keystone Road. The property has been annexed, and if sewer service is not provided, the owners could request de-annexation. A point was made that property tax proceeds would quickly offset an estimated $2,000 contribution cost. Concern was expressed regarding fairness to others who had paid for sewer hookups when the East Side District was established, and with regard to setting future precedents in such matters. The issue has been a discussion point for several months and was denied on a 4-1 vote. Marysville's request for Kansas Department of Transportation matching grant for improvement of 11th, 12th, and Keystone Roads was not approved. 92 applications were received for this round of funding, and the city was advised the application would be carried over to a possible future funding opportunity. Concept drafts from the Kansas State University visioning classes for downtown urban revitalization and potential improvements for city-owned property surrounding the historic UP Depot will be on display the rest of this month at the Arts Center. The public is encouraged to tour the exhibit. River Valley Extension District will feature a program in Belleville Monday evening focusing on overcoming depression. Mark Potter, former head basketball coach, teacher, husband, and father, will share his story on overcoming severe depression during the height of his basketball coaching career, providing strategies for health and wellness. His wife will share her role as caregiver and address what you can do to help someone you love. Caregivers are encouraged to bring family members and friends dealing with depression. The meeting is Monday evening at 6:30 at the Blair Theater in Belleville. The event is free. All ages are welcome. For details, contact the River Valley Extension District Office. An autopsy was scheduled Thursday for Cody Craig, a Hanover man who was killed Sunday in a single vehicle accident near Fairbury. The identity of a second person involved in the accident, who was reportedly driving, has not yet been released by authorities who continue the investigation. That person was transported to a Lincoln hospital. Funeral arrangements for Craig are pending with Hanover Mortuary. A fire at a rural Westmoreland home Sunday evening claimed the life of a single occupant. Positive ID of the victim is pending an autopsy. Cause of the fire has not been determined. A damage loss of $200,000 is estimated. A boil water advisory for the rural water system at Wymore was lifted Thursday. Samples have declared the water safe, and the boil water advisory for the rural water system at Wymore has been lifted. Nola E. Riney, age 97, of Pawnee City, passed away Wednesday. Funeral services Monday, 2 p.m. at Quarry Mortuary, Pawnee City. Interment in Freedon's United Church of Christ Cemetery at Bern. Visitation Sunday, noon until 8, at the Quarry Mortuary in charge of arrangements for Nola Riney. Myrtle J. Germeroth, age 91, of Hanover, passed away Wednesday. Funeral service Saturday, 10 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church, Hanover. Burial in the Hanover Cemetery. Visitation today from 2 until 8 p.m. Family will see friends this evening 5 until 7 at the Hanover Mortuary in charge of arrangements for Myrtle Germeroth. On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch menu today, barbecue meatballs, scallop potatoes, garden blend veggies, a whole wheat roll, and a fiesta fruit pudding. On Monday's menu, chicken strips, yams, Brussels sprouts, whole wheat bread, and cherries. KNDY News, time is 7:17.
I'm your Congressman, Dr. Roger Marshall, here to tell you the Kansas cattle and beef industry is one of the prides of our state. But foreign food companies have been deceiving consumers, promoting fake beef and meat by using deceptive packaging, false claims, and phony names for their food. That's why I introduced H.R. 4881, the Real Meat Act, which will obligate the FDA and Ag Department to accurately define and label real beef and other real meats here in the United States, because we need to make sure our cattle ranchers are protected from the billion-dollar marketing ploys of fake meat companies. To learn more about my real meat legislation, go to www.marshall.house.gov and subscribe to our newsletter, or call our office in Garden City, Salina, or Washington, D.C. This message paid for by official funds authorized by the United States House of Representatives.
Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. Looking at the surface map for this Friday, high pressure system across the central and east central parts of the Midwest bring us dry weather as we head through the day tonight, and we'll continue to see quiet weather as we head into tomorrow. We do have a low pressure system that will move across the upper parts of the Midwest into the central parts of the United States as we head into Saturday night. Continuing into Sunday, looks like just bringing us a little bit of some cloud cover and just a few degrees cooler behind the system as we head into Sunday. Otherwise, for the early parts of next week, we're just going to see partly sunny skies and the more chances of rain showers as we head towards the middle of next week. So looking at the forecast for this Friday, sunny skies, upper 50s, winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. Tonight, increasing clouds, lower 30s, winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. For tomorrow, partly sunny skies, highs at 56. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy in the mid-30s. As into Sunday, we'll have mostly sunny skies, we'll see highs at 52 degrees. I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Average high temperature mid-November, 54. Record high on this date, 72 in 1990. The average low, 32. The record low was 17 in 2014. Sunset this evening, 5:10. Sunrise in the morning at 7:48. 26 degrees, clear skies in Marysville this morning with a light southeast wind. That's check of the morning news and weather for this Friday, the 15th of November. KNDY News Time is 7:19. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
Give the gift of fun with Melissa and Doug Toys, available at Reflections Hallmark in downtown Marysville. Melissa and Doug have toys for all ages that encourage creative play, develop problem-solving, cognitive, and social skills, and build resilience, and best of all, just plain fun. Visit Reflections Hallmark today to see the newest toys from Melissa and Doug.
Ejections in Cleveland and a chorus of boos in New York. Hello, this is Rich Cantu on sports. Tempers flared between the Steelers and Browns with just 8 seconds left to play, leading to three ejections. Cleveland defensive end Miles Garrett got tied up with Steelers QB Mason Rudolph following a sack before ripping off Rudolph's helmet and hitting him with it.
That is embarrassing. Now what I did was I'm foolish, and I shouldn't allow myself to slip like that. That's out of character.
Rudolph pulled no verbal punches.
Pretty cowardly, kind of pretty bush league.
Steelers offensive lineman Marquise Pouncey was also involved in the scrum, punching and kicking Garrett after he and teammate David DeCastro took him down.
This boy, who cares?
My man got hit in the head with a helmet. I said whatever penalty it is.
Nick Chubb rushed for 92 yards. Baker Mayfield tossed two scores and rushed for another in the Browns' 21-7 win once time finally expired. NBA, Kristaps Porzingis showered with boos in his return to New York City.
Head forward at 7-3 from Latvia. Number 6, Kristaps Porzingis.
He had 20 points and 11 boards while teammate Luka Doncic finished with a triple-double. But a tie-breaking three with 13 seconds left by Marcus Morris sent the Mavs packing.
Five to shoot against Cleveland. Step back three. Knocks it down. Marcus Morris.
On WEPN, Knicks win 106-103. Baseball. Cody Bellinger became the first Dodger to win the National League Most Valuable Player Award since teammate Clayton Kershaw in 2014 and first Dodger position player since Kirk Gibson in 1988.
Little League to coach pitch to high school to advanced rookie to, you know, all the other leagues growing up, man. It's just like everything put into one, so it's pretty special.
Bellinger hit 305 with 47 homers and 115 RBI. Angels outfielder Mike Trout took home his third American League MVP. This is Rich Cantu, ABC Sports.
It's a playoff doubleheader Friday. Hanover at St. Paul at 5 o'clock and Axtell versus Lost Springs at 7. Live on KNDY 95.5. On air, online, and on our mobile app.
From AgView.net, I'm Ken Rogers with Ag News.
The U.S. and China still trying to put the final touches on a limited trade agreement that would involve Chinese purchases of U.S. ag commodities. The question appears to be just how much of those purchases will amount to. One report says the two sides appear to be stuck in a stalemate, even though they announced a tentative agreement over a month ago. Wall Street Journal reporting China is hesitant about writing down a specific amount of ag purchases in the actual text of the trade agreement. President Trump said last month China had agreed to purchase up to $50 billion in U.S. farm products. The two sides are still expecting to sign the limited trade agreement later this month. China is still insisting that the two sides roll back their tariffs as part of the agreement, something the U.S. is opposed to. White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow said that no agreement will be made on rolling back tariffs until the trade deal is signed. He did say the U.S. and China have progressed in talks on subjects like IP theft, financial services, currency stability, commodities, and agriculture. The administration has slapped tariffs on more than $500 billion in Chinese imports, while China has retaliated with duties on $10 billion worth of American imports. And media reports in Japan saying that the parliament likely to start voting on a trade pact with the U.S. sometime next week. The lower house of the Japanese Diet will take up the pact next Wednesday. The upper house, called the House of Counselors, will begin considering the deal the next day. One report says Japan's parliament had wanted to hold their votes this week, but complications came about from the opposition lawmakers who demand that minutes of the meetings between President Trump and Prime Minister Abe be released. Trump wants a deal implemented January 1st, which will likely happen as both houses of parliament expected to pass the agreement. That's Ag News from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers.
Good Friday morning. I'm Sam Speck with your latest check of agricultural news right here on the Mid-America Ag Network. Too much rain in the heartland made things tough on farmers through 2019. Too much moisture has also impacted the nation's waterways that transport agricultural goods to and from the nation's farms. Paul Rohde is the Midwest Region Vice President for Waterways Council Incorporated. He says the financial impact of flooding on the nation's water transportation system has been huge.
Well, not just agriculture, but all of the products that move by barge. We're looking into the billions of dollars of disruption over the last year with cement, road salt, steel, other construction materials, coal, and certainly inputs like fertilizer for the agriculture community and the exports that are so reliant on our inland waterway system. It's frustrating when we know we're dealing with an aging infrastructure, but with what Mother Nature's been handing us the last few years, it's been absolutely amazing that we're still utilizing our rivers. It speaks to how efficient barges are, that it's still the first option to go to.
A lot of extra water flowing through channels means a lot of work to make sure barges can get through those channels. Rohde says shipping has seen massive delays, making things tough on shippers for several months now.
We've seen massive delays throughout almost the entire system on many of our inland rivers over the last year. And it's just the resiliency of the towing industry. They've been dealing with an aging lock and dam infrastructure and what Mother Nature hands them, not just with high water, but low water in some cases. It's amazing.
Again, that is Waterways Council Incorporated Midwest Region Vice President Paul Rohde. He also mentions the nation's infrastructure needs a lot of repair work as some of the locks and dams date back to the early 1900s. He says the Waterways Council is involved in a repair project scheduled for next year on the Illinois River. With your latest check of agricultural news for the Mid-America Ag Network, I'm Sam Speck.
It's time again for Farming America. I'm Steve Alexander with information about the world's most important industry. It's agriculture, of course. Today, talking about the dairy industry again and the Dairy Industry Person of the Year. After this.
Your best defense against breast cancer is a mammogram. I'm Dr. Sandy Goldberg, a breast cancer survivor and founder of a Silver Lining Foundation. And early detection saved my life. Are you uninsured? Are you underinsured? Are you a survivor and need follow-up testing? Feel like you have nowhere to turn? Times are tough, but getting a mammogram shouldn't be. Call us at 312-345-1322. A Silver Lining Foundation is here to help.
At the World Dairy Expo held recently in Madison, Wisconsin, my colleague and friend Orion Samuelson spoke with the Dairy Industry Person of the Year. He is Randy Shaver from the University of Wisconsin.
What about genetics?
Rapid growth with the genomics and understanding what genetics is has really allowed a rapid pace of change in the past several years. And it's not just on milk production, but it's in the area of fat content, protein content, the type of proteins, feed efficiency. We're just making so many gains on the genetic side that we just continue to put more and more into the research and the outreach looking at nutrition to keep pace. And so we continue to improve all aspects of dairy production.
And then, of course, we have to talk about animal welfare because we're very concerned about welfare of the animals.
Well, we are, and I have a new colleague at the university whose sole focus is on animal welfare. We actually are hiring another person that will be more involved in teaching, and so focus solely on the welfare of that animal. And not just cow comfort, which is a big part of it, or how we feed the cow for having the proper nutrition, but more on handling of animals and how the workers relate to animals. There's just so many aspects of that whole area, and it's become really a new science, a new discipline, and it'll continue to go forward and improve as we look into the future.
Final question. Any idea how many students you have helped learn about the dairy industry and nutrition?
Well, our undergraduate program would be 80 to 100 students that come through every year. My appointment is mainly an extension research, but I do get involved in teaching various modules of nutrition to those students over 30 years. And then our graduate program, I've always maintained throughout my 30 years about 5 graduate students, but more importantly, involved with other faculty members' graduate students, whether they be reproductive physiologists or animal welfare faculty or physiologists, very much involved in those programs. So I could not put a number on it, but all of our faculty are very involved with both undergraduates and graduate student training.
Randy Shaver, the Dairy Industry Person of the Year. Back after this.
The Manhattan Commission Company, Manhattan, Kansas, will be holding a special stock cow and breeding bull sale Wednesday, November 20th, starting at 11 o'clock a.m. on the bulls, followed by the first calf heifer pairs and bred cows. From the Leroy Fechner estate, we'll have a complete dispersal of 156 home-raised black, black-white-faced, and Hereford cows. They'll be 3 to 8 years old, bred to Angus and Hereford bulls, plus 30 black, black-white-faced first calf heifers bred to Angus bulls. All the cows and heifers are bred to calve in March and April. First calf fall calving heifers include 90 Angus, Sim Angus, and Red Angus first calf heifers. They'll have 30 to 90 day old calves by side. We'll have 43 Hereford black white face and Angus first calf heifers bred to low birth weight Angus bulls for March and April calves. We'll have over 300 black white face and red crossbred cows. They'll be 3 years to older. They'll be from several consigners and are bred to Angus and Balancer bulls for February March calves. We'll have 100 Sim Angus and Angus cows. They'll be 4 years to short and solid with black 60 to 90 day old calves by side. Bulls offered will include Polled Hereford, Angus, and Red Angus bulls. They'll be from 14 months to 2 years of age. Several will be usable on heifers. For more information on this special cow sale, be held Wednesday, November 20th, starting at 11 o'clock a.m. at the Manhattan Commission Company. Please call 800-834-1029. Check our website at mcclivestock.com.
Farming America is a presentation of the Nexstar Radio Network. I'm Steve Alexander.
Like everything around us, agriculture and rural living is changing. Kansas Farm Bureau's Farm Weekend brings you the stories, the voices, and the passion of farm families living and adapting to these changes. Farm Weekend on KNDY, Farm and Home Information Radio, a service of the Marshall County Farm Bureau Association.
7:31 from KNDY, sunshine and 26, chilly outside though this morning. Middle 50s on tap today. We approach 60 on Saturday, heading into a very nice weekend.
Kansas Mid-America Network Sports Good Friday. An independent investigation into the heat stroke death of a 19-year-old football player who collapsed after the first day of conditioning practice at Garden City Community College has found a striking lack of leadership. Braden Bradforth, a 315-pound defensive lineman for GCCC, was found unconscious outside his dorm room after practice on August 1st of last year. The New Jersey native died that night at St. Catherine Hospital. The scathing report highlights a lack of oversight, a failure to assess athletes prior to the conditioning test, and a lack of attention paid to Bradforth's personal fitness. The Associated Press reports the report went on to say that staff didn't consider whether Bradforth had acclimated to the higher altitude and wasn't prepared to deal with exertional heat illness. The report said no staff or emergency personnel treated his escalating symptoms of heat stroke. Mid-America Network Sports.
It's that time of the year when we all give thanks, and Midwest Kia wants to thank all our loyal customers. What's that mean to you? How about employee pricing on every new Kia model in stock? 125% of Black Book value for your trade, and in the spirit of Black Friday, we'll double the manufacturer's rebate on every in-stock Black Kia. And of course, you still get the amazing 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And during the month of November, every Friday is Black Friday. Show up at Midwest Kia at 9 a.m. sharp. We'll have doorbuster cash cars priced as low as $500, plus doorbuster prizes like flat-screen TVs. Check out MidwestKia.com for a list of doorbuster vehicles and special prizes each week. Wow! Employee pricing, the most money for your trade, double rebates on Black Kias, and Friday doorbusters starting as low as $500. We are very thankful at Midwest Kia, where we always say,
we want to see ya in a Midwest Kia.
An ugly ending to last night's Cleveland Browns Steelers game.
There's a flag as, whoa, Mason Rudolph got in to get out of there.
What in the world?
As seen and heard on the NFL on Fox, Cleveland Browns lineman Myles Garrett facing certain suspension after ripping off the helmet of Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph and hitting him in the head with it during the final seconds of Cleveland's 21-7 win. The former number one overall pick was contrite about the incident after the game.
I appreciate, you know, my team having my back, but it just never got to that point. That's on me.
Both sidelines poured onto the field. Several punches were thrown, and a total of four players, including Garrett, were ejected. I'm TJ Coutini.
Kansas sporting action tonight. The KU Jayhawks men's hoop squad taking on the Monmouth Hawks. KU football tomorrow against Oklahoma State with an 11 o'clock kickoff. And the K-State Wildcats also in action tomorrow. They'll square off against the West Virginia Mountaineers with a 2:30 kickoff. Mid-America Network Sports.
K-State fans, join us Saturday, November 16th as Coach Kleiman and your Wildcats host West Virginia as we celebrate college football's 150th anniversary, including a special halftime show featuring Hall of Fame coach Bill Snyder. Tickets start at just $25 with a Wildcat 4-pack. Reserve yours today at kstatesports.com or call 1-800-221-CATS. Don't miss this special game in Manhattan as your Wildcats host the Mountaineers Saturday, November 16th. Go Cats!
Wildcat coach Matt Hoyer is our guest on pregame ahead of a 5 o'clock kickoff Friday, live on KNDY FM 95.5. That's the first of our doubleheader. We'll follow that with a 7 o'clock kickoff. Axtell entertains Lost Spring Setter. Eagles a single loss, Lost Spring Setter a pair of losses this season. Axtell coach Sherrick Detweiler.
Defensively, they play extremely well. They're very solid with what they do up front. Their secondary and linebackers do a good job of flowing to the ball. They're athletic, and offensively, you know, it's no secret that they have a kid that scored 113 touchdowns in 2 years. So it's one of those things where we're going to have to try to contain him, and we're going to have to be able to try to control the ball in the line of scrimmage a little bit on the offensive side.
Hanover Wildcats make the trek to southeast Kansas, kicking off at St. Paul Friday at 5. St. Paul's down towards Chanute, Pittsburgh area. We'll have a live broadcast on KNDY FM 95.5. Wildcat coach Matt Hoyer expects a good ball game.
Center is probably one of the bigger teams that we face this year. Their running back is over 200. Their quarterback is 220. They got linemen over 210. So definitely.